Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
HIV is still an issue in Montgomery County. The more open we're able to talk about HIV, we treat it like any other health prevention.
PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. People who are not HIV positive, who may be at high risk for contracting the disease. This is a good choice for you.
It's just a way for you to sort of take control and say, I'm going to do this to protect myself. Do it for them. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Learn more about PrEP, the HIV prevention medication. Visit doitforyoumc.org.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Hey Rush Nation, what is going on? Welcome to the second 5 Yard Rush IDP podcast with me, Nate Davis. As always, I'm joined by my wingman, Mr. Brendan Veal. How's your week been, Bren?
Warm. Hey, Rushers, how are we doing? It's hot out there, and well, welcome to round two, I guess. So, yeah, what are we doing today then?
Well, we're going to be covering off the NFC North. We're going to be saying a bit more about the IDP Plus scoring. That's it doesn't sound a lot, but we got a fair bit of content to get through.
Before we sort of go any further, just like to dive in, and I think Nathan will back me up on this. We were a little bit apprehensive about the first IDP pods, obviously working with such a good crew, you know, the 5 Yard fam. It's safe to say some of the feedback we've had on the chat has been, yeah, it's been great. You know, Nathan has put a huge amount of work into this. just some of the articles, the IDP Plus scoring system. You know, we've both done our homework. Honestly, it was so nice to get some of that feedback from all the guys on the chat. I'm sure Nate will say a bit about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're absolutely blown away by it. I mean, we've got some guys that have been doing it for quite a long time. And to just step into the podcasting world, it's a bit daunting, really. It's completely like fish out of water stuff. And it's just great to get that feedback. We've had good feedback on Twitter as well. A lot of people retweeting, following. We hope to get some guests on. IDP Iggy is been in contact about getting on. I mean, that's great to have somebody of his stature on.
There is a bit of a problem, and I'm a bit concerned about it. I mean, we may have set the bar too high with the first one, and people are going to expect this every week. It's like, oh no, what have we done? I mean, if we'd gone out, you know, a bit more mediocre, you know, it was just sort of, you know, a la sort of Dolphins, you know, 2010 or something, it would be that'd be fine. But no, I mean, joking aside, it's been great. It's been, yeah. We couldn't have asked for better feedback. So thank you. It's been really good.
Yeah, and to carry on with the guys that we hope to be getting on, I said about IDP, Iggy. So yeah, we're starting to talk about when that might be and what we're going to be covering. We're also looking at speaking to Ben Matthews from Gridiron Extra. Ben said he'll come on and do a bit. So yeah, it's really exciting. And obviously we're going to be trying to drag some of our 5-yard friends onto various different bits and pieces. I'm sure they can. I mean, especially dynasty wise, and I know the college lads, I mean, they've got some great input, especially for some of the rookies, not only this year's rookies, but previous year's rookies. I know they've done a lot of work and a lot of getting into all of those players. And obviously another one I've got to mention Mason. Mason is putting out some great content at the moment on the website. He's put out multiple articles covering various different things on IDP. So please give that a read. Mason really covers some of those players that are not household names. He covers them off really well. He's got a great eye for the outsider, really, and especially some of the people that we're not fully aware of. So give it a read.
Right, should we get on with it?
Shall we? So do you want me to? I was going to do a bit on the scoring. If I cover that off first. So for those people that haven't joined an IDP Plus League, we've got multiple ones running. I'm going to release some more. Also going to be looking to do some IDP Plus best balls on Twitter. Hit me up on at NATO NFL. DM me if you want to or whatever. But if you can get involved in it, it's going to be great. It makes it more interactive when we're doing these podcasts as well, because what we'll be talking about is the scoring. And it is based on our scoring. If you don't want to join one of our leagues and you want to set up your own, by all means, take the scoring and run with it and the setup. So just covering off the scoring, we score things like this. So on the tackle front, we've got 1 point for assisted tackle, 1.5 points for solo tackle. We've got 3 points for forced fumble, fumble recovery and pass defended. We've also got 4 points for tackle for a loss. Now, why it's 4 points for tackle for a loss, as I've mentioned it before, we see those as extremely big plays.
You're big on that, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. 5 points for a sack, 6 points for interception and defensive touchdown, because they are the game-changing plays. Why these points are set up the way they are, and it is to make, you know, we're not tackle heavy. The fact that we've got 3 points for pass defended, and obviously the interceptions are in there, along with the tackles, it brings in the secondary. They can rack up some decent points. And obviously you've got things like forced fumbles, fumbles recovery, with the sacks and tackle for a loss, that brings in the edge rushers and the linemen. So again, it's just getting as many defensive players to be relevant so that we can talk about them. As for the league setups, we use our favoured setup, which is Superflex IDP Plus format. It consists of one quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, one tight end, a kicker, which some people don't like, but there we go. The super flex position, then you've got two defensive linemen, two linebackers, two DBs, one IDP flex spot, and 12 bench spots. Again, feel free to steal that and use it and set your leagues up in that way. And again, if you don't want to play or use our point scoring thing, then use like an IDP 1-2-3 scoring setup. That's another setup which tries to bring all of these defensive players into the mix. So that sort of covers all of that off. And now what we're going to do is we're going to go on to our NFC North reviews. And Brendan's going to kick it off with the Chicago Bears.
Right. I've been looking forward to this one. We started with the NFC East last week, and yeah, okay, that was hard work. Yeah, definitely. And I think I've got the pick of the bunch. So I'm going to kick things off with Chicago. Now, on the face of it, you've got a defense that seems to be in a bit of decline. Great in 2018, not so great in 2019, and less so in 2020. We spoke about this back in the summer, and I liked Chicago simply because their team has generally always been built on solid defense. So there are some value players there, definitely. So I'm going to kick things off with the D-line. Now, before I do this, and again, going back to what Nate's saying about trying to get more people involved, sometimes maybe on some of the pods we forget that we're trying to get new players in as well. So don't be, I'm going to start with Khalil Mack. Now, you're going to look at him on Sleeper and the main format we use, obviously. He's listed as an LB. Now, you're going to see this an awful lot. He's an outside linebacker, but primarily he is their edge rusher. And you're going to see this with a lot of teams, going back to what Nathan was saying about sort of the setups and stuff. So Khalil Mack, dominant edge rusher, PFF's highest graded pass rusher last season. So, you know, fantasy points pushing 200. Listed DL8. I mean, the guy's just, you know, he's quality. So, however, you know, are we going to see a little bit of a drop off next season? We've got him dropping down a few points, I think. Whether that's an age thing, I don't know. I mean, he's 30 years old, so we'll have to wait and see. But if he's there and he's good value, yeah, I would take him. Going on from that, this is where it gets a little bit interesting. And I spoke to Nathan about this earlier in the week. So the other two you've got really that I've highlighted are Bilal Nichols and Akeem Hicks. Now, the one I want to focus on is Bilal Nichols because he played nose tackle last year. He's only 24 years old, didn't put up great numbers, but 5 sacks last season. And the reason I've highlighted him is because Eddie Goldman stepped out last season, who would typically play nose tackle for Chicago. So if he comes back, and there's no confirmation from Chicago yet that he is going to come back. However, if he does, Nichols will move to his preferred defensive end position. So you could see a bit of an uptake. So again, I would look at him, seriously. Moving on from that, linebackers, Quan Smith, monster season. You know, he was just behind Devin White at Tampa, who was, you know, top of the tree, really. So we've seen a little bit of a drop off. And again, we've got him sort of dropping down a little bit next season. Whether that trend continues, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what your thoughts are on Smith, but
Roquan. I've got Roquan in. I've got him in our home league, haven't I? He's my key linebacker.
Yeah.
He's consistent. He's a very consistent player. You've got Danny Trevathan alongside him.
Yeah, well, I've got him, haven't I? So.
Yeah. I'm not a fan
of Danny. You want to swap?
No, you're right. I'll stick with Roquan. He's fine. Yeah, no, Roquan's... Yeah, I know what you mean with this sort of slight downward trend from him, but I don't know whether that's...
The numbers are going to be there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to... You're not going to see a mass... He's not going to fall off a cliff or anything next
year. Yeah, so. I mean, I don't know whether it's sometimes... It's an interesting one watching the Bears as well, because they've been such a sort of inconsistent side offensively as well. So it's knowing whether... If teams are going to be ahead against them, they're notoriously then going to start running the ball more, which brings Roquan in because he's a hunter from that point of view. He's gonna run across the field side to side, and he's gonna be flying around trying to make tackles.
I mean, to be fair, he was the only 100 tackles plus last season.
Yeah,
no one else did that.
No. So I mean, that's where Roquan's really good. But it's an interesting season for. Last year for the Bears, because it was such a mixed bag. I mean, they had games, quite a few games, where they were in front and they were close games. And, you know, I don't know what...
Yeah, but, I mean, you look at the QB. I mean, again, we touched on this last week. Mm. It's another mediocre offense putting a lot of pressure on a defense that just couldn't compensate for it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. I think that's where maybe you get players that you might see slight changes and, like you said, drop-offs. I don't think they're really drop-offs. I think it's just a case of... It's probably just a case of time on the field or snaps. You'd have to look it really deeply into it to see if it makes a difference. And then actually predicting it, we don't even know who the bloody starting QB is going to be. I expect it to be Andy Dalton to start with, and then they'll swap it over, won't they? That's what everybody's sort of saying. And then Fields will be the man moving forward. And then we can probably get a bit more of a prediction going exactly what Chicago Bears are going to look at. But it's going to be a funny season for them this year, because... They're going to be, it's when to bring Fields in, not to put too much pressure on him, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and the defense... I think it's, I mean, it's going to be sort of Fitz and Tua all over again, I think.
You know, oh, yeah.
Saw it at Miami. It's like, you know, we'll just, you know, we'll ease him in. And so, I mean, outside of Smith, Nate's already touched on sort of Danny, my man. He doesn't want to swap him, so we'll leave that one there. So secondary, the Bears are, I don't know, very predictable. I mean, very nickel heavy. Eddie Jackson, Kyle Fuller, who's gone to Denver. So Jalen Johnson, rookie, missed the tail end of the season with a shoulder injury. So could be one for the future, but the secondary, I've got to be honest, is pretty average. You know, it's, if you're going to sort of take one, Eddie Jackson put up over 150 points, DB 51. Again, if he's there, yeah, late pick, but nothing. No, I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are, but I'm not liking anything in Chicago's secondary, to be honest, mate.
No, it's a bit, again, it's a bit about anybody that would really jump out. Jalen Johnson, maybe. But yeah, it would be Eddie Jackson for me.
Again, Goldman coming back could be key. And that's, it's kind of frustrating, really, because, you know, I would like, I think Nichols is value, but it's a bit of a gamble. If you take him now and Goldman doesn't come back, he's going to be stuck at nose tackle. Yeah, okay, he did a decent job, you know, five sacks, but they've not really done anything defensively in the draft. A couple of late picks at corner and tackle, but, you know, and they've not made sort of big moves. Everything was offense heavy in the draft. They've taken Fields, they took Jenkins to protect him. So basically with Chicago, top linebacker Smith, DL Mack, DB Jackson, outside pick, Bilal Nichols, but again, it kind of hinges on Goldman coming back. Yeah, so if you could stick him on the bench, you know, and then yeah, okay, it's, you know, if you can pick him up, because no one's really going to be looking at him. So
you've got edge rushers, like, depending on how they're setting up, but you've got players like Akeem Hicks, and you've got obviously edge rushers like Khalil Mack. You will get these kind of nose tackles and these big linemen will suddenly start gaining a few points when you know they're paying so much attention to those edge rushers and stopping those, and they do pick up decent points. I'm going to mention a couple with Minnesota, because the same thing could happen this year when we've got Danielle Hunter back. You know, that's the same kind of thing that Bilal Nichols he could really benefit from.
So moving on, this could be a really short one. Do you want to take Detroit?
Oh, yeah.
this will be about 2 minutes, this one.
It's because I didn't take Philadelphia last time. Right, okay, Detroit. Okay, well, the Lions had a pretty awful 2020. Matt Patricia's final season. Got their new defensive coordinator, Aaron Glenn, is in, and he's going to be making some big changes. It's been quite well documented, actually, this change in scheme, changing from a 4-3 to a 3-4 to try and get a bit more edge aggression, I think, from their side of things. So that leads straight on to my first, for my pick at DL, and it's going to be Romeo Okwara. So Okwara finished, what did he finish with in total? 178 points last year. He was the DL10. Shocked a lot of people in a way. He kind of he was cut in 2018 by, he was originally, and he was a free agent picked up by Detroit, and they've now given him a decent contract, and he seems to be their main edge rusher. I mean, Trey Flowers was missing a lot last season, all of last season, I think. Trey was missing for. Now he's due back. What that does to Okwara, we're not 100% sure. However, there's multiple positions to fill there. So I think he's a pretty safe bet to continue where he sort of left off. And I don't really see that he won't still score well next year. I don't expect him to score as much. I mean, we've actually got him projected quite reasonably low. However, that's obviously based on quite a lot of factors. However, he is still the main man in the DL. He would be the guy that I would be picking if he was on the board in one of my drafts and the main top DLs have gone off. I would pick up Okwara. And again, you've got to say their defense is likely to be on the field quite a bit. So he should benefit from that like he did last season. Moving on to linebacker, you can't go far wrong with Jamie Collins. A consistent performer. He played 14 games last season, 195.5 points, 55 solo tackles, 46 assisted, one interception, three forced fumbles, and a fumble recovery. So he really gets involved in pretty much everything, Jamie Collins. He finished as the linebacker 34, only over 14 games, averaging nearly 14 points per game. So Jamie Collins is definitely an underrated linebacker, and we see him as the top linebacker at Detroit, and also just a good linebacker to pick up. Again, though, you'd be still looking at the more premium linebackers to come off the board. But again, if Jamie Collins is there, these are kind of consistent point scorers. Same with Aquara, really. They're sort of safe second, third round sort of picks. And you wouldn't, it, depending on how you're structuring your teams, you wouldn't go too wrong, especially on bench spots and things like that. These are guys that can step in, especially if they've got decent matchups, that they can step in and give you a decent floor on your point scoring. So going over to DB, Tracy Walker stands out as the top DB. And again, as free safety, he has done for quite a while, really, at Detroit. He was a DB 49 last year. We've got him actually flying up on that. We've got him potentially becoming the DB 15. It was over 15 games, missed one game last season, but he definitely played a few games injured. Again, well documented. They didn't have anybody really to step in and cover him while he was playing. I think it was a foot injury. So we expect an uptick on Tracy Walker this year. And he hasn't really got a great deal of competition there. And with this change in formation, a bit more of an edge rush coming, you know, a bit more pressure on the quarterbacks, you might see the odd interception come his way. That brings me on to my sort of outside pick. And my outside pick is, a lot of people will know this guy because he was a high first round pick last season, 2020, and that's Jeff Okudah. Superb corner coming out of college. He was ranked so highly, and we were absolutely love his talent. He is exceptional. Now, he only played 9 games last season, and a lot of people, I don't know whether they've missed this, he was averaging 6.5 tackles per game. He scored nearly 100 points in IDP plus. That's over 9 games. So if he can get a full season under his belt, he's going to be right in the mix of the top DBs. Well, when I say top DBs, but the top 20, 30 DBs is going to be in that sort of mix. So, I mean, for somebody who, you know, people not that mad on corners, if he is around in later rounds, I would definitely be targeting him. So just to summarize on that then, we're going for kind of obvious ones, really. Romeo Okwara at DL, Jamie Collins at linebacker, DB Tracy Walker, and my outside pick is Jeff Okudah. So, Bren, over to you with the Packers.
Right, your second favourite team.
Love them.
Yeah.
Sorry, Packers fans.
So, a total switch from Chicago. Chicago's defence, again, nickel heavy, quite predictable. Packers, no, definitely not conventional setup. You know, it makes it a little bit sort of trickier to sort of really pick them. They do mix it up. They switch from a classic front four to a front three to an edge and four front. It's refreshing, potentially a bit of a pain in the ass when trying to pick consistent performers, but we're going to do our best. So we're going to dive into the D-line. I'm going to skip over the two, well, I'm going to gloss over the two primary linemen in sort of Kenny Clark and Larry. Not a huge amount to shout about, to be fair to Clark. He missed 3 games with, you know, the end of the year. But on the fantasy side, I think they maybe suffered from Green Bay sort of system rotation under Patine, but for example, I mean, Clark had 970 snaps in sort of 2019. I mean, that dropped to less than 600 last year. So, but I am going to dive in with the obvious one, which is Za'Darius Smith. I mean, this
monster,
this guy gets to the quarterback. 12.5 sacks last season. Good season, you know, solid. Solid pick. It's not really a huge amount more to say on that. Outside of that, I'm actually looking at Rashan Gary. It could be one to watch. Again, for people newer to the game, he's listed as a linebacker, but he is used on the edge. Fantasy points last season, just knocked over the 100 mark, but his numbers last year were a significant improvement on his 2019 rookie season, including 5 sacks. So, if that's to, you know, if we see that sort of trend continue, then yeah. Outside of that, yeah, Preston Smith, fantasy points, over 120. The only thing I say about Smith is he hasn't missed a game since 2015. That's kind of it. crack on with the linebacker. I mean, to be fair to Smith, you'd want to see better numbers for that. You know, if you're playing every game, then he doesn't really do much for me. The linebackers at Green Bay. Now, this is one I've said to Nate. This is the first time I'm going to put my neck on the block and say, take Chris Barnes.
Yeah, I like that call.
He's gonna sneak under a lot of people's radars, but that's what we're here for. 23 years old. He's, you know, okay, 147 fantasy points last season, ranking roundabouts of LB 66. But he only played 13 games. Okay, not too exciting. However, Christian Kirksey was brought in from Cleveland last year on big money. It didn't work. He's gone to the Texans. So Barnes is in prime position to benefit, especially because of the way the Packers like to line up. I mean, 59% of snaps, they're playing a single linebacker. Barnes is the obvious candidate. So we've got a massive, massive uptick on Barnes, jumping up to something like LB20. I would take him. I wouldn't go heavy on it, but he's one of those. Chances are, if you're drafting, Chris Barnes is going to be on the board. You can probably pick him up cheap.
Off waivers, maybe. You might even get him on waivers.
I'm going to take him on sleeper later on, actually. I've already looked at it. If he's there, I would take him. The guy's value. Outside of that, Kamal Martin, rookie linebacker, only played 10 games. There is a lot of positive talk about him, but I just don't think he's fantasy relevant at the moment. Secondary, you got Donal Savage and Adrian Amos. Now, you can't split. You got DB21 and DB22. Fantasy points were identical. I do think, they're good, both of them, good picks. If you're looking for...
I like Savage.
They both benefit. The fact that Green Bay are so inclined to play that single linebacker, you know, you could take either of them and they are going to get, time on the field.
And they creep up into the box as well. Yeah,
they both really benefit from that single linebacker. I would opt for Savage simply because for all we're saying, we can't split them points and ranking wise, he did play a game less. That's about the only way you can split the two. Cornerback, Alexander, he's a solid corner. Needs to step it up maybe for this season. It's interesting because obviously they picked up Eric Stokes in the first round. Jair Alexander is going to have someone breathing down his neck a bit. He might be sort of scrapping it out for the top cornerback at Green Bay. But to be honest, if I'm going for a DB at Green Bay, I'm taking one of the safeties, to be honest. Green Bay, like I said, interesting one. Like Chicago, with the exception of Stokes, they've not really brought anything new to the table in terms of rookies, free agency. So it's going to be kind of as you were. So if we're going to break it down, top LB, Chris Barnes. I would take him. DL, Za'Darius Smith all day long. DB's Savage, but if Amos is there, he could do worse. And if you really wanted an outside pick, Rashawn Gary. I mean, the numbers indicate that he's getting better, but it's one of the first three for me, definitely. So I suppose we need to set aside about three quarters of an hour while you bang on about the Vikings, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know how long I'll be on them. Yeah, so my beloved Vikings, here we go.
Yeah, defensively, we had a shocking 2020, though. Yeah. It was absolutely horrendous.
Bye-bye, Wilson.
Yeah, bye-bye, Eric Wilson. He's terrible in coverage anyway. And just generally, I thought he was... Even though the numbers were there, he's no...
You didn't like him, did you?
It doesn't fit. It didn't seem to fit quite right. You know, sort of the Kendricks Barr linebacker duo works particularly quite well. This is not really fantasy.
No, but they do. I mean, he does like, three linebackers on that defense, doesn't he? It's like...
Yeah. So sometimes, but this kind of like, I expect him to really push fourth 4-2-5 nickel sort of like setup that they seem to have adopted. It seems the way they want to play. They didn't have the personnel to really pull it off last year. The biggest problem being Danielle Hunter not being there. Mm. The problem is, and the two tackles in the middle, we had a real lack of quality in that front. It was a mismatch of all sorts of players, and some of them stepped up, done quite well. But this year, it will look completely different. We've signed Dalvin Tomlinson, we've signed Sheldon Richardson. I mean, two big guys in the middle, and with Hunter coming back, it just screams that this would be a very different season for us. And I'm hoping so, like every Vikings fan surely is. Anthony Barr missed a lot of last season. He's back this year. I mean, it's crazy, but I would virtually rip up the stats from last year because it's absolutely pointless, because they're not, this is a whole different look. The DBs and the corners and the corners were all youngsters. We had Jeff Gladney one side, Cam Dantzler the other. Cam done really well. Gladney's had some personal issues over the off season, so we're not even sure whether we're going to even see him again, which is a bit of a shame. But Cam Dantzler is the one shining star that came out from that sort of secondary last season. Yeah, so it's very different from last season to this season. As I mentioned, with that front new setup, we also added Patrick Peterson has come in. Yeah. So I would say that was more of a tactical play experience wise, you know, of when you've got a young secondary and then you're bringing in somebody of that kind of nature and somebody who's been to God knows how many Pro Bowls and, you know, been with one of the mainstays in that position for quite a while. So that's going to be good for the whole team and the whole organization to have somebody like that at DB. So yeah, going on to picks then. Hunter missed all of last season because of the neck injury that he had, and it was a serious neck injury, but I was really worried. I thought we wouldn't, there was a point where I thought we're not going to see Hunter again. It was like they were covering something up, and then suddenly, so now he's back and you must target Danielle Hunter. If he's fit, I mean, 2019, he was the leading defensive end with 14.5 sacks. And he also threw in 78 solo tackles, 18 tackles for a loss. I mean, that's staggering kind of numbers. And he was so dominant on the edge.
Yeah, I mean, we've got him going off at sort of, you know, DL4, haven't we? So, you know, he'll put up over 200. If, like you say, if he stays fit, he puts up 200 plus points.
Big numbers. Yeah. Yeah, so he's the ones, and one people are paying probably over the odds for, you know, your Chase Youngs, Myles Garrett, Bose is maybe going off really high, and then people will leave Danielle Hunter. And again, if you do see that happen, that's where you can get some really good value. There you go, Danielle Hunter at DL. Linebacker, Eric Kendricks. And I know I'm biased because I'm a Vikings fan, but he is one of the most underrated linebackers for me. He flies around all over the pitch, making tackles. In that formation, when Anthony Barr's back as well, what you find is that Anthony Barr is a big, big linebacker. He does a lot of the donkey work, really, and really puts his body on the line. And that allows Kendricks just to motor all over the field and make those tackles. He averaged over 17 points a game last year, 69 solo tackles. Only, this is all over 11 games.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. I'm looking at the stats going, how are you putting up that sort of score over, and you've missed six games? It's like, yeah.
Yeah. And when you talk about like the comparison in these kind of players, so we'd say in that Christian Kirksey last year at Green Bay played 11 games, same as Kendricks, and he was averaging 13.3 points a game against Kendricks' 17.7 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So these are the kind of that kind of difference in that level of linebacker which you're talking about. And Kendricks is one for me. He's a must buy. for me, and I'm picking him up all over the place.
Yeah, I mean we've got him going off at sort of LB5, so you know 250 points minimum, we reckon. So.
And again, they're going to benefit. The thing is all of this will fit like a jigsaw for these kind of players. We will do. I mean, the more pressure that they get, the more chances for the short throws over the middle, or they're going to be trying to run away from people like Daniil Hunter, and it creates lanes for somebody like Kendricks to come in and make those tackles. So yeah, definitely for me.
Yeah.
Moving on to DB, Harrison Smith, one of the most well-known safeties that are around. He's always there or thereabouts. Didn't have a particularly great year last year, but this year is his contract year. So anybody knows that actually the dynasty guys. Rich and Liam done a real good podcast the other week on contracts.
Oh yeah. It was, I mean, something I really hadn't yeah. given it a great deal of thought, and it's so relevant when you actually break it down. And anyone that hasn't listened to it, just jump on it, because it was really insightful, and it's something that, you know, we sit there and we look at the stats, but you go, right, well, and as Nate said, you know, this guy probably is going to pick to impress this season.
Yeah, that'll be exactly it. That. So we've got a guy in a contract year. It's up to him. He should, if he's got one eye on the dollar sign, then he should be lights out. That's what he'll be trying to do.
I mean, he should be playing sort of, you know, that hard all the time, but it's not how it works.
But also with with Harrison Smith, his numbers last year and pressure from the edge. Last year, we were absolutely shocking at getting pressure onto the quarterbacks. So when they do get pressure onto the quarterbacks, this is when you get this is when interceptions come into play, because they will then be throwing the ball off balance or whatever, or rushing their throws. And that is when people like Harrison Smith might get an interception, a pass defended. And it brings in, and this is the difference. This is why you can kind of ignore his numbers last year. If Hunter's fit and we got these new guys up front, you know, there should be a fair bit of pressure on quarterbacks, meaning that, yeah, you can maybe see his interceptions uptick as well next season. So there you go. There's my DB. Now, going on to my outside pick, I mentioned him slightly earlier, is Cam Dantzler. And again, based on what we just talked about pressure on the quarterback, that will benefit the corners as well. And Cam Dantzler, you got to look at it from Harrison Smith's on the field, well known. Patrick Peterson could be the other side, right? Again, well known. Would the quarterback be trying to throw Cam Dantzler's side? Maybe, maybe not. But if he does, there you go. More opportunities for Cam. So I'd be looking at him. And also with that added pressure, again, maybe more opportunities of particularly not good throws by the opposing quarterback.
I think he's good value later on if you want to. I mean, again, you know, averaged nearly 10 points a game, but only played 11. So again, you're looking at him kicking on next season. And like you say, you know, he probably is going to see more of the ball.
Yeah, he had a good rookie season. A lot of people are quite high on him already. This isn't somebody that's completely under the radar, but it's somebody where there's a lot of reasons to suggest that there could be an uptick there. So yeah, go and pick him up. So just summarise then, Daniil Hunter at DL, Eric Kendricks at linebacker, DB Harrison Smith, and the outside pick is Cam Dantzler.
Okay. So like we said last week, when you sort of touched on it with the NFC East, and we sort of broken down top defenses in the division, and you said yourself, you know, that's kind of how you want to be drafting. So who are we highlighting as top defense in the North then? Not that, try and be objective, will you?
I just can't, because I believe it anyway. So I'm
all right. It's all purple.
I'm gonna go us. Yeah, the purple people eaters. I hate that saying when they say it, but yeah, let's go Vikings. Go. I'm again Vikings one.
Yeah.
Bears two, because that's what they build themselves on.
Yeah.
Oh, Green Bay is an interesting one against Detroit, because I don't dislike Detroit as a defense. I don't. I think they put up some half decent numbers. However, it's just I don't know. I still think
Green Bay's unpredictable. Yeah. You don't really know how they're going to set up. And like I said, you know, when I was covering them, it makes them really hard to predict.
I mean, I love Za'Darius Smith. I think he's a fantastic player. And he's somebody I always look around and see if he's on the draft board. If he's around, I often target him. But there are some questions over linebacker. Secondary's all right. Safeties are good. Mm. But yeah, so I'll probably go Green Bay and then I'd go Detroit. Apologies to Detroit fans, but yeah, it's tough.
Well, yeah, it's not easy being a Lions fan. Never has been. Okay, so that pretty much wraps up the NFC North. Just remains to say, you know, just keep checking out all the content we've got out there. There's some great pods out there. We've already touched on a couple. You know, there was a brief one yesterday on sort of ADP. You know, check out the website. Some great articles on there. So, just get involved, really. I do want to finish on I'm going to appeal now to our 5-yard fam. Nath knows in the last few weeks I've had some very distressing news as a lifelong Miami fan. My daughter has decided, now I love my daughter dearly, she's 13 years old, and in the last year or so she's got involved in, you know, a bit more into the NFL, playing a lot of Madden with me. However, she has decided to become a Cincinnati Bengals fan.
Oh my world, how are you bearing up, Bren?
Well, I mean, you know, as you know, it's my birthday in a few weeks' time. And I think Thea's just turned around and gone, you know what, Dad, for your 42nd, I'm going to get you a coronary. it could have been worse. I mean, you know,
yeah,
could have been the Pats or the Jets, in which case I'd have moved all her stuff into the shed, mate. So if any of the family out there have just any tips, I mean, I'm not sure what you do. I mean, and to add insult to injury, she's been on NFL Europe's website and she's found a couple of hoodies she wants. And to add insult to injury, I have to pay for them. It's like, I'm lost, mate. I mean, I'm not sure what you do in this case, but there you go. So all the guys on chat, if you've got any tips, I'd really appreciate some help because I'm a bit lost at the moment. So, I'll leave you all with that, really. So keep rushing and we will see you all soon. Take care.
Can live a long, healthy life if you're HIV positive. With the current treatments, we can get patients down to being undetectable.
The array of options is so much greater today.
U equals U. Undetectable equals untransmittable. If someone who's HIV positive, they're taking their medication, they're undetectable, they're not able to pass HIV to their partners. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Your HIV treatment is their prevention. Get more information at doitforumc.org.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.